This month is still the month of missions. So we continue with the theme. We're going to talk about mission. I want to talk with you a very unique missionary. Tell me who he is. I will give you some hints. He has a very unique mission. His target population was not like other prophets or missionaries. He was sent to foreign country, spoke to a foreign land, foreign people, about destruction. He was unique because when other prophets being called to bring the message of judgment, they tremble at the degree of difficulties. But this missionary, he was calm and very decisive. He decided to run away. No way, I'm not going to do it. He showed his decision by action. He ran away. And he was unique because when he saw the result of people repent at the message, he was mad, very mad. Can you imagine a pastor when he preached a message and people repent and he was get very mad? You guys should buy. And he was that kind of messenger. Also, the book was very unique because it ended with an open-end question. God asked the person, should I not be concerned? Now, if you follow the book, that's the last sentence, no answer. We did not know how the missionary responds. We just know that God was asking him a question. I believe that the author of the book did that by purpose, so that the readers like us can think and try put ourselves into the missionary's shoes and try to answer. Now, it's the answer time. Who is that missionary? Who? Louder, I'm old, I cannot hear that clear. Who? Jonah. What's the name of the city? Nineveh. What? Nineveh. I'm trying to learn how to pronounce that name because in Hebrew it's Nineveh. But in Americanized, the name is Nineveh, right? It was a book of Jonah. So I want to preach to you the whole book, but Uncle Don told me that I only have 35 minutes. So I'm going to read only chapter 4. Can you open the book of Jonah? Let's all go together in chapter 4. I'm going to bring back chapter 1 and 2 and 3 as we are going to listen to a message. The book of Jonah, chapter 4. Okay, do you find? Okay, help me out. 1, 2, 3. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord. Can we read together? Okay. I'm inviting you to read together. Let's read together. Okay, 1, 2, 3. I start over again. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord. O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. Verse 4. But the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. Then the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I'm angry enough to die. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? Let's pray. Father God, we commit this hour into your hand. May your words speak to our hearts. Father, show us, help us to understand your great purpose of giving missions and great purpose of giving mission to us. Father, we pray the Holy Spirit can show us where we are and what we should do and how we should respond. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. In many, many missions conferences, speakers like to use this book to tell the love of God. Now, the first question is, God said, should I not be concerned? To whom he was addressed to? To Jonah, right? He asked Jonah a question. But the target of his concern, obviously, was the city of Nineveh. Because he said, he used all these tools to bring Jonah to a point looking at that city. Because Jonah was angry. Angry, how could God forgive that city? And then God said, you concerned about the vine, you are so mad because a worm chewed up and the vine withered. And you never planned, you never grow that city, that vine. But this city has over so many thousands of people. Should I not be concerned? Obviously, God, the first God and a lot of mission conference speakers, they will say that God was concerned and God is still concerned about the lost people all over the world. God was concerned about the people of Nineveh, whom Jonah believed should die. On the other hand, you know why? Jonah was looking at, he made a decision. He's looking at the forgiveness of God over this city. He was mad because he was looking from the angle, the point of view from his own people. We all know that the people of Nineveh, the people of that country was brutal. They kill people. They invade people. When they destroy a city, they kill every single one, old and young and even baby. They crash baby on the big rock. So for years and years, these people really scared. They gave so much to the people and all the brutality and all the things, the destruction to the people Israel. So Jonah looking from the point of view of his people, Israel, he said, no, these people cannot be forgiven. He had no feeling for this city because these people were not his own people. Do I have the same problem? Often we are talking about missions. In all the mission conferences, we talk about the lost people. What kind of lost people we are always thinking? Chinese, right? We are Chinese. Are we Chinese? Yes. China is the center of the whole world. And all the other people were just not really civilized. World. We were the only one, but we are still one. So we looked down at the other people. We went and we go, and those target populations, we all admit Chinese. Jonah was doing the same thing. He was looking from the point of view of Israel people. He looked at this people of Nineveh. He said, no, because they are not his people. But God was trying to tell Jonah, should I be concerned about these people too? If we read the whole Bible, you know, God not only loved the people of Israel, his chosen people, but God loved the whole world. God loved everybody. God was trying to make Jonah understand his concern. It's such a difficult issue, reason for them to digest. It's difficult because they are foreign people. When you have time, today I do not, but when you have time, look in Romans 9, chapter 9, 1 to 16, Paul was sharing his concern about his own Jewish people. Now, Paul was an apostle, an evangelist to the Gentiles, right? But in Romans chapter 9, 1 to 6, he called his people. He said, "They are my bones, my flesh. Those of my own people, my own race," in NIV translation, they are my own race. In Hebrew, it says that they are my bones and my flesh. So that's why he concerned. Of course, we are Chinese, we should concern about our own people, our own race. Do you know every four person in the whole world population, one of them is Chinese? My daughter, when she was little, 4 or 5 years old, I dragged her to my former church had a Chinese school. I dragged her to a Chinese school. She was so angry. And every time she came home for 4 years, day and night, she cried and she angry, especially when it close to the Sunday afternoon, she had to go. She was really angry. Finally, we gave up. Said, "Okay, you don't want to learn Chinese? It's your decision." "Daddy, thank you for setting me free." Do you know when she was in college, she was second year studying in BU, Boston University. One day she came home. "Hey, Daddy, why don't you force me to Chinese class?" I say, "What?" He said, "You know, the China is getting stronger and stronger, influence bigger and bigger. If I'm Chinese, how come I cannot speak Chinese and write Chinese?" I say, "You gave up Chinese, did you?" I say, "Yes, but I was little, I didn't know, you should know." I tell you, no win. Now for Chinese, Chinese, it can go anywhere. I went to Lima, and I went to Brazil, I went to Venezuela. We were looking for Chinese, there are hundreds, thousands of Chinese there speaking Mandarin, some of them Cantonese. I went to Brazil, I said, "Can I visit the Chinese population?" He said, yeah, "Pastor, tonight I'm bringing you there." I said, "What, tonight?" I said, 10 p.m. Chinese will do business at 10 p.m., from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. I said, "Where?" "Don't worry, I'll take you there." At 10 a.m., I dressed up trying to do evangelism among Chinese. They drove me to a big place surrounded by police. Protected by police, I should say. There were 3,000 booths inside, all great, 99% of them owned by Chinese. You know what they're selling? If you want to buy a jean, you walk to one of the booths, they say, "Okay, this is a jean. You choose jean, give me 200. Those are not retail, those are wholesale. Coming from all over the country. "You like jeans? Okay, what kind of brand do you like?" They have different boxes of jeans, brands, they will show it for you right away. You understand what I'm saying? You buy a jean, you say, "I want certain brand." That's the same jean, they just show it a brand name on it. Now you understand, right? I don't know how about now, it was a while ago, but that 3,000 booths. Each booth may have 2, 3, or 4, 5 Chinese out there. So I visit them, I spoke to them, and one of the girls said, "Pastor, I'm tired." I said, "Yes, I understand, you work from 10 p.m. "No, I work 24 hours a day. After 10 a.m. tomorrow, I will go home, I will start buying goods again." I said, why you work so hard? He said, "Pastor, do you know, it has more than 1 week, I have maybe all the time, my sleep time, probably less than 10 hours. Are you kidding me? Are you killing yourself? Pastor, you don't know us. Our parents, our family borrow money to bring us here. Our shoulders are so heavy. we have to make money, send home to pay back, and then they expect this. So I have no time, I have no right to sleep. And I went from booth to booth, I saw our own people's situation. You know what they did? They need money, but more, I think only Jesus can set them free. Yeah, of course, we are our own people. God loved them, but brothers and sisters, how often we will think of the native people population? I have been trying to learn Spanish because I went to Middle East, Central and South America. Yes, I went to Middle East, but my Hebrew won't work. So I tried to learn Spanish. Would that be a beautiful thing if we can go to a particular country, not only fighting Chinese, but share the gospel with the local people? Do they need the gospel? Yes. But do we have the right to choose to whom we can share? About 20 years ago, I went to Florida. I'm belonging to Christian Mission Alliance. So once a year, we have a big gathering of the missionaries. There were about 400 or 500 pastors and missionaries in Florida when the conference. When the conference started, there was an unexpected guest, Reverend Henry Battle. He was a Caucasian. He walked up, and everybody was so quiet. He was about 90 years old. His whole life dedicated for Chinese. His father was a missionary to China, and he was born in China, Shandong. He grew up there, spoke his Mandarin, Shandongese Mandarin. And when I saw him walking up there, and he walked up to the stage, and he used perfect Shandongese Mandarin. He said, 中国人啊, 我欠你们的福音债, you're Chinese, we owe you the debt of the gospel. At that time, the whole congregation stood up, and they used Chinese. Reverend Battle understood it. He said, Reverend Battle, no, we Chinese owe you a debt that we cannot pay. And you know what he said? He said, you want to pay back? Easy. Share the gospel to the race different from yours. Go. The many know the United States, my own country, is a big mission field. A lot of many American people, local people, that they said they are Christian and their money said in God we trust, actually they are lost. Now Chinese, bring the gospel to them. You owe them. That picture came deep in my heart. I never forget, God loved the whole world. God loved all the people, and so should we. But the book of Jonah, now let me ask you a question. Besides God loved the people of Nineveh, loved the people of the whole world, what was the other concern that God had at that time? Now, who was the main character of the story, the book? Who? Jonah, right? The people of Nineveh only appear in chapter 3, there are 4 chapters. Remember, the first chapter, God gave Jonah a mission and he ran away. Remember what he did? He ran to the wrong direction. And when we read it, he said, God, I know who you are. I know what kind of character you are. You are a passionate, compassionate God, kind. So he ran away. Where did he go? He went to a boat. He was sailing the opposite direction. And God sent a storm. And you know what happened? Yeah, people were scared. And then he turned himself in. He said, because of me. I don't know whether you can call him suicidal or not, because the four chapters of Jonah, many times he said, let me die. And at chapter 1, he asked people to throw him in the sea, right? I don't know whether he ever imagined God will have a big fish to save him. But chapter 1, of course, Jonah was the key character. Do you agree with me? How about chapter 2? Of course, chapter 2 was his beautiful hymn of prayer, right? Who wrote that? Who was singing? I don't know how Jonah was able to sing in the belly of a fish. First of all, I don't know what kind of fish is that big enough. And I don't eat fish. I don't like the fishy smell. Now, if I was there, I would die before anything can happen. But how could he was in such a dark place with that fishy smell, still singing praise to God? Now, let's not read that chapter, but you go home and read it. It was beautiful. He was saying, God, even though you sent me in a dark place with all the seaweeds, everything surrounding me, but I still praise you, because salvation comes from you. Now, God arranged the fish, bring him to land again. Now, obviously, Jonah was the main character, right? Now, the chapter 3, what did he do? He went to the city as he was told, as he promised. He delivered a very strange message in Hebrew, only 5 words. The message was the message? He said, Nineveh will be 40 days, this city will be what? The city of Nineveh will be overturned. Actually, he was using the word is for complete destruction. Just like something you turn over and nothing left. Who was the main character? Still, he was, but you know, the response of the city, of the people in city will sometimes overshadow him, but he was still the key figure. Now, the message, there was no calling of repentance. There was not a hope in that message. The message was very simple. 40 days more, you guys will die. If I were in that city, I would run away, right? I don't know why people didn't suddenly, everybody start running away. Instead, they remain where they were, and they repent. But chapter 3 still talking about Jonah, and chapter 4, we read it together. I'm not going to read it again. Who was the key figure? Who was the key character in chapter 4? Jonah again. He was really mad, starting from chapter 4. Jonah was greatly displeased. Displeased is a very weak translation. He was very unhappy, and the second word is better, and became angry. He prayed to the Lord. Oh Lord, is that not what? Look at what he says, very funny. I don't think the whole Bible, no people whatsoever, dare to talk to God like that. He said, oh God, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I'm so quick to flee to Tarshish. He said, God, you see what? This is because of this, I'm running away. I knew that you are gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in love. That would be a beautiful praise hymn, right? But he was angry. He's not anger. He was not praising God. God, I know you are gracious. I know you are slow to anger. I know you are compassionate, willing to forgive. That's why I ran away. Now, oh Lord, take away my life. Now he asked to die again. For it's better for me to die than to live. Who? 4 chapters, obviously the main character of Jonah. So I have problem if we said, oh, the book is all about God love the sinners only. God also loved Jonah. God spent all the time with Jonah. He was hoping that Jonah to know, to see himself, what was in his heart. And God was so good, and God used the vine. When you read that, remember verse 4 to 8, God used the vine and arranged the wind and a little worm to chew up the vine, let it die. And then because of that, Jonah was really angry And he was angry. The people, what was he angry about? He saw God forgave the people of Nineveh, and he went outside and find a place to sit and look at the city. You know what he want to see? He want to see, will God repent? It's strange. How can God repent? Repent is the word that he want to see whether God will change his mind again. God already changed his mind. God decided, at first God decided to punish them, put them destruction, and they repent because of God was gracious, God compassionate. God was concerned about the people there, and Jonah was upset, and he wanted to sit there and to see whether God remember the cruelty, the brutality of this city, and finally God will destroy this city. Was sitting there, I don't know, he didn't say how long, but the longer he sat there, the more angry he became. Be fair, when we're talking about Jonah, I heard a lot of bad things about Jonah, right? He was a negative example, he was bad, and so on and so forth. Of course, a reasonable question should be, why God didn't give up on him? Why? God continued to chase after him. I use the word chase because God never gave up. When he in the ocean, God sent fish, and when he was at land, God sent a worm. God in different forms, God showed that he was concerned about Jonah. God wanted Jonah to see what it was in his heart. I bought a new house in New Jersey about 15 years ago, but the house was, I couldn't move in right away. It was not all done. So I stayed in one of my church members' house, an old couple. It was so nice. They just retired, but they gave us a good guest room, and he knew that I didn't eat fish, so he prepared fish every single meal with the hope. He was a real good cook. He said, Pastor, I know that you don't eat fish. And you know, for a while, so I decided to cook the best fish. So you change. And you know, failure of knowing how tasty fish are, you miss a lot. So be patient with me. I know that you don't eat fish. He will try to cook fish for me. And I'm sorry, after 3 months, I still don't like fish. He failed. They were so good to us. So finally, the house was ready. I was ready to move in, and I say goodbye. I say thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Lee. Their last name was Lee. I say thank you so much. You were such a so kind person. They took care of us, everything. And then I say, was there anything during the time we stay in your house that is irritate you or something that we shouldn't do and we did it? So I should apologize. Can you tell me? Say, no, Pastor, you guys are so good. I'd like you to stay here, but only one thing. You know, Chinese will not say it directly. They praise you first and turn around there. So I said, okay, Mr. Lee, can you tell me what did we do wrong? I noticed you were driving a Japanese car, and your wife was driving a Japanese car too. There's something, two Japanese car parked in my driveway, irritate me. I say, what? Hey, Pastor, have you noticed there were nothing made in Japan in my house? I said, uh-oh. I said, what was the problem? Why? Japanese car was good, right? Yeah, I enjoy my Honda. It's still there, I'm still driving it. The same Honda. It never broke down on me. And I hope it won't, but someday it will. So I asked him, what was the problem? He said, Pastor, you are still young. I love that. You never went through World War II, what the Japanese did to us in Hong Kong. You know, I was 9 years old. I had to pick up their cigarette butt, trying to from them, and I take out the tobacco things inside and roll into a new cigarette and trying to sell it, help my family. You know what they did to me? They kicked my head when I was crawling under their feet trying to pick up the thing. They kicked me rolling like a ball. And I rolled back trying to finish it, and they kicked me again. And I saw how, what they did to Chinese. I said, Mr. Lee, it was, what, how many years ago? So long time ago, that generation already passed. Now, there were terrible things happened. I'm not trying to defend what the Japanese did at that time. I was not there, I didn't know, but I said, today, whoever make the car shouldn't be them, right? He said, no, but I cannot. It deep in my memory. You know, I don't know whether he changed or not. He moved to California. Now I occasionally still contact him. But something burning in his heart, he could not forget what and other people did to our own race. Do we have the same problem? I was called into ministry the second time. After I came to this country for a few years, I worked as an IT guy because nobody willing to accept me as a pastor. My English was worse than now it is, and I was new to the country, and my degree nobody recognized. I have to start all again. I spent 13 years in study. So finally, I realized that God called me up again. I was an IT engineer, so I was making quite a lot of money and moving up the ladders of management, and I was second to only one person in the whole organization. I had a good future, and God called me. My daughter was in her 10th grade, so I said, God, call me 2 years later when I fixed, when I earned enough money to send my daughter to school. I want her to have a good college education because I went through a hardship in my life. I do not want my daughter going through this again. I realized that in this country, at least, you know, give you some security if you graduate from a famous, with high education, for famous university, so on and so forth. God said, no, come out. Finally, I gave up because God used Matthew chapter 6 to call me. But there was one thing in my heart I could not overcome. So I argued with God. God, okay, I'm willing to surrender. I'm giving up my job. I will go in the seminary again. I will serve you full time. But there's one problem, okay? Let me tell you first. Never send me back to Vietnam, okay? I can go to any place but not Vietnam where I came from. God, let me tell you why. I cannot forget what they did to my family. My dad owned a restaurant and he was tortured and they took everything and he went back to Hong Kong, he died. My family was scattered I saw what they did. After the Vietnam War, those 4 years were harsh. I said, well, as long as this regime stands, actually this ideology stands, I would not go back. Actually, that night, God used the book of Jonah. Do you think I'm not concerned about their faith? I know you're angry, but let go, because I'm God. I had a hard time struggling. Finally, it was close to midnight. I said, God, you are God. You know how angry I still am, but I'm willing to surrender to you. If you call me, I will go. And you know what? He set me free. Free from the anger, free from all the things accumulating. I accumulate a lot of pictures, how my family were tortured. They sent me hard labor all the time. I couldn't forgive their face. I said, if I go back, I will see their face again. But God said, I'm concerned, I love them too. But only when I surrender, I'm truly free. You know, I realized one thing, brothers and sisters. The book of Jonah talking about God loves, God was concerned about the faith. God loved all these the people of Nineveh. But when I read the book, I believe God loved Jonah, really loved Jonah. God could easily change another person. You are like that, okay, move aside. God could just say, Calvin, you're like that, okay, you stay behind because you are not willing to forgive people, and I will call somebody else. You know what? What I learned is God care about me and God care about you. You know, going to mission, if you one day you go for a shorter mission, I can tell you one thing for sure. The person will be benefit will be you. You're serving people. Actually, God used the ministry. God cared about you to give you ministry opportunity so that you can grow. You can be changed. I went to Panama to teach in a Bible seminary, Bible school. I will not call it seminary. The Bible school, I went there. And I met my former mentor, Reverend Andrew Leung. He was my pastor and he was my mentor when I finished my education training in seminary. I saw him again. Wow, so happy. After 30 some years, met again. Oh, by the way, next January I have a chance to see him again. He's 90 some years old, still a missionary in Panama. The pastor baptized me, 95, Reverend Khan. He's still strong. He said, let us have a reunion. So after 40 years, about 35 of my former church members, we are going to meet in a cruise. Is that great? Yeah. I didn't want to leave RCCC, but my wife said, go, because it may be the last chance you ever see them again. It may be. So I decided to go. No, I met my former mentor to learn again at the seminary. We were so happy. We hugged one another. And that night, he cooked a special meal for me, eating snail. I said, yeah. He said, do you know these snails were pet in the aquarium when the U.S. Army stationed in Panama, when they withdrew? When they were there, each snail sold for $3-4. Now, when they left, nobody wanted the snail again. So there's one church member in our church, he owned a store, so he gave me all the snails. You know, when you give things to Chinese, they will eat it. So he cooked it. So I was eating snail with him. So I said, Pastor Leo, it was so good to see you again. Yeah, sure. After so many years, I'm glad you're still serving God. The next day, when the school stopped, I was busy teaching, and at noontime, they have a break, long break, because in Central and South America, as well as in Asia, they used to have a long break. After lunch, everybody go for a nap. Only people in this country like us, we never take naps, right? We work like crazy. But they know how to enjoy life, so after break they have a long nap. So I went outside and I saw Andrew Leung was hitting, it was a bell made of copper. Dong, 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 dong. Pastor Leung, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm trying to let them know it's start a nap time. After that, I will hit again and they will wake up. You know, when I saw him, it just reminded me of the time about 40 years ago, I was serving in an orphanage. He did the same thing. At that time, it was Vietnam War, so one day he said, Calvin, go out the field, find me a bombshell, cannon, copper. So I found him one, he knocked out the explosive cap and hang it on a wood stand, and then it was very fun. You know, 40 years, I saw him to do something, tang, 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 tang. You know, the feeling was very funny. I said, Pastor Leung, you are doing the same thing 40 years ago. You did. And then he was feeding a dog at the same time. So one hand was down, 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 down. The other hand was feeding a dog. I said, you did the same thing when 40 years ago you were knocking, you are hitting a bell and then feeding a dog. I said, yeah, 40 years. I'm happy that God can still allow me to hitting the bell and then feeding a dog. And then he asked me something real serious. He said, Calvin, after 40 years, What have you learned from serving God? You know, something he told me, I never forget. He said, do not, as a pastor, do not use people to develop ministry, but use prayer and use ministry to develop people, because God cares about people. If you can do something, great project, and so successful, a lot of people come and people enjoy it, but if any of the co-workers being hurt, it was not a successful ministry. People more important than project, than ministry. He asked me a question. After 40 years, what do you learn? I spent 2 years working in the orphanage after I graduated in 1973. Actually, I'm sorry, backtrack, it should be 71. I spent 2 years in orphanage. At that time, I thought it was a misuse, unwise use of manpower. Think of me, 5 years full-time ministry training, coming out to be a babysitter? Are you kidding me? Use me to tell story to these street kids, those orphans during the war. You know, the kids were wild. I was telling them the story of David, right? Besides that, you know, first story. And before I even finished one sentence, hey, Pastor, we heard this before, something else. I was so mad, 2 years. I thought, God, it must be a mistake. The church made a mistake sending me here. And then I spent one full-time internship ministry. Do you want to know what my assignment was? To go to the battlefield to pick up the dead body. Those, you know, at that time during Vietnam War, all the males were in army, and the church members, somebody died in battles. I was the one sent out. My dad owned a restaurant. He said, son, come back to help dad. I said, no, I'm doing a pastoral work. He asked me, what are you doing? I never dared to tell him, you know, did 1 year. I think it's a misuse of manpower again, right? And then I spent 2 years as assistant pastor. I was not even allowed to teach Sunday school. I was doing the admin work and cleaning the church truck and all those things. They call assistant pastor. I thought it was a janitor, kind of. And then I served 8 years as they call associate pastor. Yeah, they gave me a chance to preach. I never forget the first time I preached. I practiced and practiced. 20 years, I finished sermon time. I prepared my sermon exactly 25 years at timing. But once I stood there, I finished in 5 minutes. I was nervous, I talked very fast. And then 20 minutes left, what could I do? I was looking at people looking at me, until the pastor in the back said, after so many years, I will start learning. But brothers and sisters, I can share with you one thing after all these years. I realized that God knows what I need. I had a wrong concept of service. I thought, you know, preaching, taking care of, attending meetings are the pastoral work, but not God. You love me, you love the least, the smallest brothers and sisters of me. Matthew chapter 25, remember that? God used ministry to shape us. When we're talking about mission, brothers and sisters, you don't let God want you to use that to bless us, to change us, so that we can be a faithful servant for him in eternity. In seminary, I always told the students, I say, remember, go finish the seminary, you got an MDiv or whatever. When you go to a church, those church God sent you to another school. God knows you need the trouble. God knows you need the person. Never run away. Stay there and face the challenge, because there are lessons. God loves you. God wants to shape you. So when you're serving, God may send somebody next to you, and whatever person, that type of person, you don't like. You know, you should thank God. God knows that you don't like them. God sent it to you so that you learn how to love them. God used ministry to shape us. So Mission Month, I've been reminded God loves all nations, all people. They are all concerns of God. I pray that one day Chinese churches will reach out to Hispanic people, to American Caucasian people, to white, to yellow, to all Indian. I saw a lot of Indian people in our midst, and I love them because they consider me one of them. Yeah, they thought I'm from India, so I really privileged. You know, all this, let's learn God loved them all. But more importantly, do you know we are the reason God loved us? You know, this cantata, this coming Christmas, the topic was, we are the reason. God knows you need the ministry, so that's why God gave it to you, so that you can be changed and you can grow. If you never learn, God will send you to another place, another mission, with the same purpose to shape you. So let's give thanks to God. These are good for us. You know, Romans chapter 8, 28, all things, God made all things work together for the good of those God loved and God called into his ministry. So let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks. You are such a wonderful God to us. You love us so much that you prepare so many chances, no matter in school, at home, and church, or the ministry you assigned to us, you want us to change. You want us to get to know you, to know what your concerns are, so that we can be changed as well. Father, we thank you. Help us to know, to learn, to observe, to know your heart, and to know what your concerns are, so we can do what you please to you. Our lives belong to you, Lord. Thank you for your sacrifice for us while we were still sinners. Help us to love you more. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.